And welcome to Echo This, where we come together for empowering conversations of hope and opportunity. Today, our panel is going to chew over this wonderful, amazing, fascinating subject of luck and how can we make our own luck and create powerful conversations that create fortunate outcomes. So first, I'd like to introduce our panel. Here we are.
Hello, I'm Debbie Wimberly, a medical cannabis educator, consultant, speaker, and health quality advocate and patient. My passion is to empower individuals to develop an effective compass to guide their health and quality of life.
And I'm Lisa Jones, a speaker, consultant, and author that leverages the power of humor, gamification, and play as fuel to enhance collaboration, increase engagement, and maximize productivity.
And I am Amy Weishaus, your moderator for today's episode, and I am a lifelong educator and learner. And my platform is basically that each of us has the responsibility and the capability to create lasting joy in our lives. So let's look at this topic of luck. Who doesn't want to be lucky? We all want luck. It's evidenced even by the amount of money that we invest in being lucky, even though the odds may be very much against us. I was a little curious, and lo and behold, I did some research on the lotteries last night, and just before broadcast right now, the phone rang, and it's someone saying he's from the state lotto commission. And I thought, uh-oh, I think there's a scam. So here's evidence that so many of us are pushing our luck and want to be lucky. As a matter of fact, in 2021, Americans spent $105 billion on lotto tickets, and that's more than the combined spending on books, sports events, video games, and movies combined. That's quite impressive. In Florida alone, where I currently live, $9.3 billion was spent in lotto tickets. So who doesn't want to be lucky? We want to be lucky in love. We want to be lucky in every aspect of our lives. We have superstitious behaviors that are about good and bad luck. And think about it. How many of those do you actually subscribe to every day in your thoughts? I'll bet you'd be surprised how many there are. So we're going to start the ball rolling with some questions to our panel. And I'd like to start out with a general question, kind of, you know, to all of us, just to get a perspective on where we are on the luck issue. And how can we use that to connect with people? So to what extent do you believe that luck has played a role in your current status? And do you believe in luck? And also, do you categorize yourself as lucky or do you think you're unlucky? So I'd like to start with Debbie.
Thank you, Amy. Well, I'll start out by saying, have you ever heard this saying, right person, right place, right time? Or consequently, the wrong person, wrong place, wrong time. Highlights the significance of the appropriate situation and aligning your success. And if that's what you call luck, that's what I use and subscribe to. Because I didn't grow up with my parents talking about luck or explaining to me that things would bring you luck. So I actually, I can remember sitting in my bedroom window and saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star, first star I see tonight. May I have the wish that I wish on tonight? And, you know, but do I remember ever feeling like I had luck from that? I don't think so. Same thing with I grew up eating black-eyed peas every year on New Year's Day. And I was always told those will bring you good luck throughout the year. But I can't ever relate back to a time when I said or something happy, good or bad happened to me. I would say it was because I ate black-eyed peas or I didn't. This is all about taking yourself and putting yourself in charge of whatever situation is in front of you. Being mindful of what's happening around you. I can remember serving on a trial and a young man was arrested for being in the wrong place at the wrong time when something went down. And that was the guiding focus for all of us on that jury, to make that decision. He just happened to be in a parking lot where something else happened that he had nothing to do with. So it's always taking advantage of and looking around you and understanding the situation you are in and taking control of it that best situates you.
It's fascinating. And you suggest that, you know, one moment of time of good or bad luck could really dictate the whole outcome of someone's life sometimes. What do you think about that, Lisa?
I agree. And I kind of think about life like a board game. And I would say that for me, luck handed me a pretty intriguing set of cards. And I do believe in a blend of luck, strategy, and a dash of cosmic winks in shaping where I am today. And while I've never officially classified myself as lucky or unlucky, I would say that I do tend to throw a celebratory dance party when things align just right, to Debbie's point. But I call it a luck-induced boogie. It's a little dance I do.
I love that. A luck-induced boogie. You know, I have a sense that we all don't really believe a lot in luck. And yet when it happens to us, you know, there it is in front of us and we do believe in it. I consider myself lucky. And, you know, some of it, though, got me to thinking about, for example, people say, oh, I have good genes, as if that's a stroke of luck. It's not anything we worked for. We just got lucky with our family medical history. A lot of us can relate to that. So sometimes, what is luck? Debbie, you said you work hard at it and you create it. And that's something, you know, to take to heart, because there is an expression, we create our own luck. So, you know, for all of us, I do, fundamentally, though, I believe I'm lucky for many reasons. And I also work to create my luck as well. So that brings us to another thought. And maybe some of this you've already answered, Lisa, but I'm going to ask you to run with the ball just a little bit further. But when you were a child, or even a young adult, and you hoped for something, maybe one specific thing that you were hoping for, was there a role that luck played in it, either the absence of luck or the presence of luck, in the outcome of that for you? And how did you deal with the situation? And were you conscious of luck operating in that moment?
Yes, that's a great question. One of my first jobs after college, it seemed like it was plucked straight from the stars. It was dreamy, but slightly out of my league at the time. And I felt like luck was playing hopscotch in the background as I hustled to convince the universe, and of course the hiring manager, that I had hidden talents waiting to be unleashed. And sure, I wasn't the typical candidate, but what happened was I strutted in with this dazzling display of transferable skills, and it was kind of like bringing a spoon to a knife fight, but it didn't matter, Amy, because I made it work anyway. The universe must have been feeling playful that day, because lo and behold, guess what happened? I got the gig. And the lesson learned that I learned was that sometimes it's not about the luck of the draw, but about owning your unique flair and showing the world what you've got hidden up your sleeve. So go after what you want. You never know. You might get it.
It's so interesting that you choose that. And I had no idea that occurred in your early career. But I had a similar situation where in my senior year of college, I went to the placement bureau and I really wasn't sure what I was going to do. I wrote urban planning, journalism, teaching. I really didn't know. And I opened up a binder, a brochure fell out on the floor, and I picked it up and it was for an internship program where you could start teaching with a summer course, with a monitored supervision as an intern. You didn't need student teaching. It was under the auspices of an Ivy League school, and it was amazing. And I persisted from February until July, when a district would hire me as an intern. And that was luck. That, to me, that was a stroke of luck, that it was chance. It was something that determined my success or failure at getting a job. And lo and behold, I was there for 33 years as a very established member of the English department and grew up in that community. So The question is, yes, luck can be so pivotal and so exciting, amazing, really amazing.
Exactly, so, Amy. And the other thing I think of when you were saying that is you were also lucky because you were there for 33 years. Most people don't get to be that lucky and stay somewhere for that long. So kudos to you.
Well, we're going to be, you know, going a little layer and layer deeper and deeper and deeper in this discussion because, you know, so many different things occur to us in the moment. And I want to bring out that we walk the talk here on Echo This because, as you'll see, we are empowered right now in having a conversation on, you might think, a random topic of luck. But here we are, I'm learning more about Lisa, about, you know, the way she operates in the world. They're learning more about me and how I got into teaching through an internship program, which was very innovative, which was really trying to get people out in careers into teaching in a non-traditional path. So we are empowering each other and hopefully showing you that you could talk about almost anything and find riches there, especially in discovering yourself, patting yourself on the back for past successes, and also learning more about the people next to you. It's so important. So we have segments in our show, and traditionally, if you've been following us, we like to echo the hope primarily and the opportunity in conversations of empowerment. So we're going to echo the hope right now. And I'm going to, oh, I'm sorry, the hope was Lisa's, when you wish, you know, for what you got in your career and the beautiful fit you had. We're going to, that was echo the hope. And now we're going to look into echo the opportunity. And of course, these overlap. So I found this really interesting quote, and it is by a man named Eliyahu Goldratt. He was a business innovator, a management guru, and a writer. And he believed, good luck is when opportunity meets preparation, while bad luck is when preparation meets reality. And Debbie, I thought you were the one to reflect on this one first.
Thank you. Well, we can talk about good luck and bad luck here for me with this question, because, again, I was in the wrong place and the wrong time. Well, I wouldn't say it was the wrong place, but at the wrong time of life, in a situation when the country was going through the opiate crisis. We still are. And I was abandoned by my doctors. And at the time, that seemed so overwhelming. I had a serious lung condition coming on. I was had a 24-hour caregiver. My health was failing, and my doctors just quit. And they decided they couldn't help me anymore because of the opiate crisis with my chronic pain. And so in that moment, I felt left alone and abandoned by my doctors, and they just quit on me. How can a doctor just quit on you? I didn't know that was possible, being a medical professional myself. I didn't know you just gave up on someone. And that's when I started to realize there's one person I can rely on, and that's me. And I took that moment and turned it into something that has become truly amazing, which actually brought me here to meet you ladies. I have improved my health by understanding and educating myself about myself, my systems, and how they work, and introducing myself to what's and learning about the endocannabinoid system, and actually learning how to apply medical cannabis for my health. So I've taken this and turned what was something that was happening to me that I would say most people would call bad luck, and I have turned it into good luck now. At the moment, I didn't know it was going to be good luck. I felt very depleted and desperate. But my intuition to take charge, to dig deep, to become and take the opportunity to take care of this, I refused to let doctors tell me that I only had 5 years to live and just accept this as your life. That is not something that I sat well with. And so I took the opportunity and made myself learn and experience and guide myself to where I am today, which now makes it possible for me to help and educate other people.
Well, that's so enlightening, because many of us realize that the adversity that we've had to overcome, the struggles, the trials and tribulations, and sometimes even the dark nights of the soul, we have the capacity to turn that into good luck and into ways that we can influence and that we could support other people. It's so, so true. And I think that's so true for all of us. Lisa, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think with this one, it reminds me of, and you know, I'm a big fan of Monopoly, but it does remind me of the game of Monopoly, because I think of conversations and they really act as the dice we roll. And what happens is it navigates the board of life, right? So with each roll, we encounter opportunities, setbacks, to Debbie's point, and unexpected surprises. But just as in the game, where strategic decisions can lead to acquired properties and building empires, our conversations pave the way for what you would call fortunate outcomes and enriching experiences. And I think really here, Amy, the lesson that we can learn from this is, like seasoned Monopoly players, we can strategize our conversations, making thoughtful moves and seizing opportunities that come our way. And I would say to everyone, let's roll the dice of dialogue with intention and watch as our journey towards success unfolds on the streets of life's Monopoly board, right? That's where I am a lot of times, on the Monopoly board.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to reflect a little bit here on a stroke of luck and just rolling the dice and going back to that quote about opportunity meeting preparation. We're all prepared in our lives in some way. We're prepared emotionally or situationally based on, our life circumstances. I'm thinking about a student who once wanted to write an article for the school newspaper about being the daughter of an alcoholic. And I, as advisor, and went to the administration and such, and we got permission to publish that article, but to publish it anonymously. And I know that, and what I'm saying is that young lady was in a position to talk to and help and have an empowering conversation with other young people so that they could really support one another and not hide, but solve their issues. So I'm reflecting on how the three of us met, because we were prepared with life circumstances and with messages and with passion. And we meet on an online coaching program, and look at us 2 years later. We're friends. We're constantly learning about each other from the stimulation of our conversations. We're trying to bring that to a wider audience. And here we are, with many accomplishments and many dreams that we fulfilled, that we had the initial luck, but we brought the luck to the table. And then we got lucky and we gravitated to one another. And here we are on a radio show. So I think it's all so magical. And it brings us to another question. And this is one for all of us, aside from our health circumstances and how we can help others and how luck plays into all of it. How can our conversations, how can they create these fortunate outcomes and enrich our lives in countless ways? And Buddha said something to this respect, and I think it's something that I just demonstrated on how we all came together through education, through wanting to help people. And Buddha said, being deeply learned and skilled, being well-trained and using well-spoken words, this is good luck. The power of words, even. And I wondered if you could all reflect a little bit on what you think about that. Creating conversations with fortunate outcomes, and what do we need to bring to the table to achieve that? Who wants to chime in first?
Well, I will. I think it's kind of what my response was earlier. It's kind of similar to, I think I'm still on the Monopoly game. So, and the rolling of the dice and the conversations, and really basically making sure that you're strategic with your decisions, because that's when you can really craft better conversations if you think about it. And that's what happens when you're crafting those better conversations. You're really paving the way for having more fortunate outcomes and more enriching experiences because I think that leads you to seizing opportunities that can come your way.
And for me, you know, I think about this in terms of what I do for my work. I am involved in education, research, and advocacy on a daily basis about areas of health and taking charge of your life. And that only happens when we can communicate and when we collaborate and when we bring our voices together and get to understanding one another and being open to those conversations. I talk about a subject called the endocannabinoid system and medical cannabis, which is something that we're still learning a lot about. And so it takes having good knowledge to be able to educate about that. And it also takes the ability to try to, you know, bring people in to understand what that is. And those conversations become so powerful and necessary because we have a health problem in this country and we need to be making better choices to improve people's health. And this is something that could actually do that. That's where knowledge sharing comes in, from learning from people that have already done this, that are using this process and helping themselves to improve their health. So this is just a really big place to build a collaboration and to build advocacy and a perception of what's possible for someone to do with their health. So this means that we need to all step up and start taking and paying attention if we want to improve the health system of today and where we are. So, you know, join me. Come out and speak about this and understand how important your voice is in taking care of your health and having access to the quality medical solutions that you're looking for.
And that word collaboration is so very crucial to this whole discussion. Many of you know that I'm partial to a poem called The Person Sitting Next to You. And we can't begin these conversations until somebody takes the first step. Somebody has to initiate the conversation. Now, it's easier when like-minded people get together and let's say have a support group, whether it's for a health issue or parenting or a house of worship. There are lots of reasons why people get together, but we can create more reasons and more scenarios, and we can create the right time and the right place and the right situation just by inviting a couple of friends to a consciously intentional conversation that maybe doesn't have a definite agenda, but can go in so many rich directions. So I maintain that when we show curiosity, which is another big C that we all stand for, collaboration and curiosity, and initiate that conversation with somebody very casually even, we never know. We might have the luck of being next to the person who changes our whole career network and where we are led to in a career move. It could be somebody who has medical information that we desperately need and referrals for that. I mean, the impact of that person sitting next to you, that unknown quantity, the conversation could be the key to revolutionizing our entire lives and in turn, the lives of other people as well. So I, you know, say, Debbie, you know, kudos to you. Collaboration is everything. And collaboration could start with the seed of the smallest little conversation and smile and empathy for the other person, because when we empathize with the people, we open them up and then they can empathize with us as well.
Well, I have to say here, Amy, that, you know, this question actually brought me to having my own conversations just talking about luck. Because, like I said, luck is not something that's ever been in my vocabulary, but I've never really seen myself as lucky or unlucky. And so I started going back and evaluating, why is that? Then I started asking people in my family how they looked at luck. So just the topic of luck opened up so many conversations for me and made me start looking at my inner self and how I look at it, how I evaluate it, and then how other people do it. Doesn't mean there's a right or a wrong way for luck. We all end up where we do based on the right place, the right time, the right person.
Yeah, that's a really great point that you bring up, Debbie. And it made me, I had similar inner dialogue, and then I did talk to certain people. I did like a little survey, a little it wasn't a formal survey. It was an informal survey. And it was interesting what I found out, because a lot of people were saying, no, I don't feel lucky. And then I had like one person out of like the seven people I talked to that felt lucky. But it also reminded me of when I was little, and my mom specifically would give me this rabbit's foot. And she said, this will bring you luck. You just rub the rabbit's foot. And sometimes I remember like I wanted certain things when I was a kid, and I would rub the rabbit's foot, and then like I wouldn't get it, and I would throw it and be like, this isn't bringing me luck, Mom. And she's like, just keep rubbing it. So like we all had different things that we did as we were a kid. And I can't for the life of me remember where that rabbit's foot is, but I need to, after this broadcast, ask my mom.
Well, and I think that's a really good point too, Lisa, because how many of us have heard find a penny on the floor, pick it up, and all day you'll have good luck?
Good luck. Yep.
I still pick up a penny no matter where I find it. I can't say that I have good luck. Same thing goes with the black-eyed peas. I eat them every year still, but I can't tell you that it brings me good luck. So, you know, it's just something that I think makes you feel good and warm, mm-hmm. that you have these things that have been handed down to you or given to you or shared with you throughout your life. Again, that's a conversation. And it gave you something to hang on and to maybe make you feel brighter that day. So I think all of these are really important.
Two things here that I'm chuckling about. And one is the pervasiveness through all cultures of this concept of luck. And how, Debbie, I love the fact, and Lisa, I love the fact that it spurred you to do informal polls and initiate conversation. It's a great topic. It's fun. And it shows some of the absurdities, follies, or some of the actual cultural backgrounds. Now, for example, my girlfriend is always telling me not to put my pocketbook down on the floor if we're in a restaurant or something. And sometimes there's no place to put my big pocketbook. And she's always finding another chair, putting all our pocketbooks on there. And she's very interested in Chinese traditions and feng shui. And I actually read in my thinking about luck that it is a belief that in the Chinese tradition that you cannot, it's bad luck to put a purse on the floor. And then I read somewhere that Brazilians take it a step further and you can't put a wallet or a purse on the floor because they believe you'll go broke. You're degrading, you're going down a level, and it's not a good omen to do that because you're not showing respect for money by putting it on the floor. So it is culturally pervasive everywhere, whether it's a belief that you can't have chopsticks standing straight up in a bowl, or the rabbit's foot, or think about the four-leaf clover, wishbones, the Hamsa symbol. I mean, we could go on and on and on about all of these omens and symbols of good luck. And I think, though, I wonder if you would agree, luck goes hand in hand, I think, with confidence. And it's kind of reciprocal, because the more luck we have, you know, like even on a good hair day, you know, the more confidence we have. And the more confidence we have, the more we could work hard with our preparation to realize our goals and create our luck with very wonderful outcomes. So how about the flip side of that? There's always a flip side. And the next section of our conversation is echo the enigma. So my question is, can good luck launch a string of problems? So what would be the foundation of good luck? And Ray Kroc believed, the harder I work, the luckier I get. So I wonder how much good luck is bad luck? Or do we have a kind of a lucky quotient where we think of ourselves as, you know, fairly lucky in life, or maybe unlucky in life, depending on our circumstances? And, you know, I found it interesting that Ray Kroc, and I'm sure the name is a very popular one, but he actually bought McDonald's from the McDonald's brothers. He wasn't the original owner, and he became the CEO, and he managed it, you know, for quite a number of decades. And he believed that the more he sweat, the luckier he got. And he is credited with establishing the number one fast food company by revenue in the entire world. And I imagine most places where we travel, there's a McDonald's there, which is pretty incredible when you think about it. And the hard work and the association of hard work with luck, as he expressed it so many times. So on this question of the enigma, I guess everything in moderation is helpful in life. I do believe that some people might take luck for granted, and the enigma might be like the many countless stories we hear about lucky lotto winners who in a few years are absolutely broke and in a worse situation than they were when they began. So I'm reflecting a little bit here on this topic on what's the connection with luck and gratitude. And I think luck can be a great motivation for action when people take their luck and spread it for the benefit and welfare of other people. And the more grateful we can be for luck, I think the more powerful we can be, and the more empowered we can help other people become. So it is kind of a double-edged sword. And it is, again, it's something to think about, a little frivolous topic like luck, and we can get into revealing some very deep personal beliefs and truths and perspectives. And once they're shared, wow, that is the goal. So that's me going around the bush with this enigma question, which is always one of the most challenging segments of our show. So anyone want to add to any of that?
Yeah, I will. Your McDonald's topic makes me think of Shamrock Shake, because every year in March I go have a Shamrock Shake, and it, for some in my head, it brings me luck, or so I think. But I want to also say that sometimes I imagine luck as a quirky friend, and you know, the quirky friend that shows up uninvited, bringing both laughter and chaos to the party. And to your comment about, is it too much bad luck? I think that it's a bit like having an overflowing ice cream cone. And I know I'm all about the food right now. I guess I got hungry during this broadcast because the overflowing ice cream cone is delightful until it starts to drip everywhere. You all know what I'm talking about. But as Cormac McCarthy suggests, sometimes our misadventures might just be the universe's way of saving us from a more spectacular calamity, right? Mm-hmm. And as for assessing our luck quotient, what if we traded our crystal balls for a playful game of fortune teller cards? So you can shuffle the deck of life, you deal the hand you're given, and you remember that the real magic lies in how we play the cards, not just the luck that we're dealt. So that's what I would say about your enigma question, Amy.
And I would jump in on that a little bit and say that, you know, it is about how you proceed once you feel you have that dripping ice cream down the cone and what you do with it. I don't like ice cream, so I don't eat ice cream, so I don't have to enter into that at all. But the interesting part is that with everything that is lucky or unlucky, there's a decision to be made. There's an action that you can take. There's something that you can do to actually maybe change what it is. Maybe it's licking the ice cream down the snow cone as it's coming off, or getting a cup and putting the ice cream in it. You get to make those choices. And, you know, I never see anything as, I mean, I may say it's that was a bad event, but I can always look at it and try to turn it into something good. So I think that's what the enigma is trying to figure out, how do I take something that's not working so perfectly for me and make it into something else? Whether it be, I didn't get that job interview. I've always learned that when I didn't get that job interview, that job that I interviewed for, that something else better came up. So, you know, stop thinking about it as always being bad and think of it as an opportunity to move into something even better.
Or just eat your ice cream cone really quickly. It's the other option.
That springboard idea is wonderful. And that speaks to resilience, which is such a buzzword in our society today and such a reality. Resilience, you know, how we bounce back from something that might have been bad luck and how that motivates us to greatness. I mean, how many people, I'm just thinking offhand, like Alonzo Mourning, who needed a kidney transplant and then went back into the basketball court and came back after that episode to a career in Major League Basketball. So I'm glad, Lisa, you brought up that quote by Cormac McCarthy that says, "You never know what worse luck your bad luck could have saved you from." So, I mean, that in itself is something where I mentioned before the gratitude. How many of us say it could have been worse? We say that all the time. It could have been worse. Mm-hmm. So in essence, luck is very relative, and there's so many wonderful ways to look at it and laugh about it as well. And that brings us to another segment of our show called Echo the Transformation. And basically, the question here is, what are the transformative powers of luck? And we seek in all of our work in Echo to see what are the transformative powers of conversation. So can we all share now a situation where we either experienced personally or witnessed or learned about a situation when luck actually transformed the outcome, good or bad? And we've really been talking about this very thing in different ways throughout the past hour, but here we're looking to focus in specifically on how the issue of luck transformed and created an outcome, maybe for better or for worse, but we're conscious of luck's role in that. So who would like to start?
I'll take that one first. I will say that remain curious is the most important thing for me. And I had to remain curious during this health crisis that I went through. And if I hadn't have been curious and been on a search, it's kind of like my Alice in Wonderland, I traveled down a lot of paths. And it allowed me to discover the endocannabinoid system. And within that, I realized that system, a system that we're all born with, plays a very important role in our health. And that system and learning how to engage with it, communicate with it with medical cannabis, gave me the opportunity to reverse my health conditions, make them better. My CT scans are better than they've ever been. So there is an opportunity that to me was luck, because I was in the right place to learn this information as cannabis was becoming legal in Arizona. So, you know, it gave me that opportunity. And I think, again, it comes back to always own your own journey and learn for yourself, be in charge, be curious, never stop being curious about what can happen. I become curiouser and curiouser every day about myself. And I hope that everyone that walks away from today will start thinking about themselves and being in touch with themselves and learning how to be curious about who they are.
Well, curiosity, we tend to come up with all these C words: collaboration, conversations, curiosity. You know, they're so essential. And if we keep them, the compassion and the empathy for the people around us. I mean, if we even took this conversation to a lunch break at the workplace or to the coffee shop, the next, little gathering, or even to the dinner table, if we all just, you know, said, "Hey, what lucky thing happened to you today?" And then the conversation goes to so many places. I want to, you know, talk about a personal transformation. I never heard of the endocannabinoid system, the ECS. I was never taught it. I never came across it in a biology book. No medical professional ever shared this concept with me. And I was having some leg issues, and I really was concerned about what was going on. And I happened to have a conversation with Debbie and just mentioned this. And she told me about some remedies and some approaches, some strategies through this conversation that I could take. So fascinated, I educated myself through her guidance, and I have some oils that I can ingest under my tongue, and I am feeling remarkably better when I do. So is it lucky? I had a need, but I consider it very lucky that I have a colleague who has taught me so much. And I am empowered now with the transformation that I realized through this innocent, oh, wow, I feel bad. And she says, well, I know this. You know, the coming together of these circumstances to me is so fortunate for the outcome, because I have now helped so many of my friends and said, you know, I know a cream for that pain. You know, you don't have to take all those pills. There's a cream, try it. And yes, you know, it goes exponentially transforming not only luck of people, but their perceptions about what's possible and their knowledge about a system in their bodies that they know nothing about that could save their lives, literally. So, you know, the more we talk about it, the more examples we can find where transformation has come from these conversations.
Yeah, that makes me think, I wish I would have found Debbie sooner, because it reminds me of 2 years ago when I was hit by a horse. And yes, you heard that right. So picture the scene. There is a horse farm and the unexpected entrance of Lady Luck. But what happened was I found myself in a game of equine roulette, I should say. It was a curious twist of fate, and it led to a collision with a four-legged friend. But here's Amy, where the luck comes into play. Instead of a dire outcome, the whims of fortune spared my head. It was a stroke of luck, and it turned potential misfortune into a rib-cracking comedy, quite literally. That's what happened. My ribs were broken. Here's to the transformative powers of luck, because what happened was it weaved tales of unexpected escapades and teaching. It taught me to appreciate every hoofbeat of life's unpredictable ballet. And amidst all these things that life's twists and turns happen, with each unexpected twist, occasionally painful, because that took me months of healing, it adds a unique hue to the canvas of our experiences. And really, it's a reminder that even in the midst of discomfort, there's a profound gratitude for the sheer gift of life. And that's what happened that day when the horse hit my back instead of my head, because I wouldn't be sitting here with you today if it was my head. So I want to encourage everyone to embrace the journey, both the pleasant and the challenging, for within the mosaic of unpredictability lies the enchantment of transformation. And I'm transformed by yet another miracle of luck that happened in my life.
A miracle of luck. And we do experience them every day. And I'm sure there are some that we're not even cognizant of happening, that there are miracles. You know how sometimes you witness a horrible car accident, a multi-car collision, and you say, oh, if I hadn't gone back for my keys and forgotten my keys or my telephone or my water, I would have been there in that situation. We hear that all the time with some major tragedies, and how luck really, really is our key to survival, definitely.
I think that that actually, you know, when I think about luck, and we discussed this through my exploration through this process, it is something that, you know, at least it gives you something to be hopeful for. It gives you something to be thankful for. It gives you something to give gratitude to. So if however you use it to empower yourself and to, you know, educate yourself that you know, this is all good, that we're all put here for a reason, and we all have something to add and to put into it. And we should all be having conversations like this on a regular basis, so that we are all exploring each other and ourselves and bringing together the voices to have a huge co-working collaborative world.
You know, sure, they're used to talking. Well, not really so. Everybody has a little shy side, but we can find out that, you know, if we're lucky enough to believe that we can be this catalyst and this impetus for change and empowerment, that we'll have the confidence to start. It's got to start somewhere. And for example, if you're puzzled about that, I went to the internet and I looked up luck. And I came up with, among other things, 28 luck quotes to make you feel lucky. So there you go. Who doesn't want to feel lucky? So there were 28 quotes, and I chose about three of them for us to ponder today. And I think they were very interesting. But there were, 25 other quotes that were just as stimulating for conversation, just as interesting. And I think we can get even elementary school children. I mean, you'd be surprised what they come out with. Elementary school, middle school, we all have children at all different ages and stages. And, the question of luck, the topic of luck, I think is one that I want to bring up with my son, because, how much of our life circumstances, as we reflect, do we feel are based on luck? And how many of them are because we really took the bull by the horns and we created this for ourselves? So that's certainly something for all of us to think about. And I'm wondering, there's so much more to talk about, and there are other strands in our conversation that some of you might want to pick up on. Oh, and I wanted to say, when we are in these conversations, we don't know the power, the lasting legacy of joy that our words might inadvertently have on someone. We've all had someone in our lives, maybe it's a grandmother, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's our child who came out with these words of wisdom, but we have sound bites that we carry around with us, and many of us will use the expression, oh, that rings in my ears. That rings in my ears. I can hear her voice saying. And think about the ripple effect of that in our lives when we could provide innocently, not even knowing it, the sound bite for somebody to draw comfort from. And that person will feel, boy, I was lucky that day when she said this, because it has been kind of a way, a blueprint for me, a compass for me in my life. And I remember a clergyman once told me, when I was going through a difficult, challenging personal time, and he basically said his own experience he shared on divorce. And then he said to me, Amy, we have a birthright to be happy. And everything suddenly went into perspective. And today, those words and the good luck I had to know that person and to hear his wisdom, those words support me and bolster me up many, many times. You have a right to be happy. Simple. And this is how we live. So I'm asking, as we wrap up a little bit here in the final stages of our discussion, are there any other reflections on the topic, on the subject of luck, and perhaps you are thinking about, or maybe something came to mind about how luck is portrayed in music, in a movie, in a TV series, or something where it actually showed up for you visibly, and you could relate the topic of luck to something out there in the mass market. So I'm wondering, any takeaways and comments, just globally, because we've really been very broad and comprehensive in where we've gone with this topic.
Yes, I think what comes to mind for me is it reminded me of when I was little and I would try to catch fireflies in a jar. Remember how that would sometimes, it was elusive, but I think luck as portrayed in the media is like catching fireflies in a jar. Sometimes you gather a bunch with ease and then other times you're left chasing elusive glimmers in the dark. And that's a lot of times what happened to me when I was a kid. But if we're thinking about sitcoms, to about whatever type of TV it is, luck becomes the mischievous character in our life story. And what happens is adding plot twists and unexpected surprises. And it's that cinematic popcorn of existence. And some kernels pop early, while others create suspense until the grand finale. So I think everyone should just grab imaginary popcorn right now, enjoy the show, and let the luck-filled soundtrack of life serenade you. Go ahead, get the popcorn.
Sounds good to me. Sounds very good to me. And I was just thinking, there was another quote by Ray Kroc, and it was that luck is a dividend of sweat. The more you sweat, the luckier you get. And, that's very much, we say we're sweating it out when we have a challenge to do something. And I think one of the things we've come up here with these reflections is that luck can be a tremendous force of motivation and of hope. It creates opportunities, and it can empower us to share the luck with other people. I mean, who doesn't want to share luck? You win tickets, you want to invite your best friends. You have a very fortunate windfall with something, and you want to do something good and share that with other people less fortunate. So it's a very, very powerful topic. And yes.
And I'll add on to that piece there, Amy, that you're talking about, because you had said in the earlier segment about how people might think it's easy for us. So it's not what I would say is easy for us. I did not plan on doing what I'm doing now, ever. It was not a design of mine. And I could very well just go off in the distance and not share anything that I've learned with anyone. But I can't, because there's too many people that are living in chronic health issues right now, and they're looking for answers. So I take it personally that I have to go out and share this voice. It's not something it's not something that I made a deliberate decision that, oh, I want to be a speaker, I want to do this. It's something I feel I have an obligation to do, to bring a voice to this so that people can understand something that they don't know anything about, we're not taught about. This is where your voice becomes important. It's not about whether it's easy or it's hard. It's about making the right choices to communicate with the world the value of what your life is and the benefits of having good health. Because when you do not live in good health, you do not have a quality of life. And like you said, we are born to the right to have joy. And that comes with having a good quality of life.
And it's so easy today to wallow in depression or pity or feel isolated. And a lot of people are still having issues coming out of COVID because they withdrew. They maybe didn't have internet connections or knew how to use Zoom. You could say, oh, we're so lucky with the benefits of all this technology, but there's a number of people, maybe even among the baby boomers, who know how to use their phone just to do FaceTime with their grandchildren, or, who just are very limited and even timid about using the social media, and very rightfully so. My account was hacked again recently on Facebook. So with all that going against us, we have to boil it down to the very simple face-to-face, two-by-two, two-by-three conversations. And watch just, we can't even watch it, because the legacies of joy that we create through our conversations, we may never even know. We may never even know the reach. We won't know the reach that it has. And maybe once in a while, someone will say, do you remember when you told me? And you'll not remember, but you'll feel like your life made a difference and you feel so empowered, because somebody reflected back to you something that you innocently shared at a different time in your life. Very, very powerful. The power of conversation. So I think on this note, I'm going to thank our audience for being here to listen to Echo This. I hope you take a soundbite away with you or two today from our show. We actually would love to hear from you with any feedback, questions, or comments, or stories that dovetail with our topics each week. And you can reach us at echotogether@gmail.com, and that's spelled echo, the number two, gether, G-E-T-H-E-R, @gmail.com, or at echotogether, again, echo, the number two, gether, on IG, and on LinkedIn. And we do hope that this will stimulate you to go out and empower you to empower others with wonderful conversations of hope and opportunity. And we'll see you next time. Thank you so much, and keep echoing the good news.
Echo, echo.
Echo, echo, echo.
Echo, echo.
Echo, echo, echo.
Echo, echo. Listen in for empowering conversations of hope and opportunity.